our service this morning. It's so great to have you here. Today was a special day to honor those beautiful babies, and I just want to say how proud I am of their parents, and just to be able to have, especially be so young like that, and to honor God in such a way at a young age with the gift that God has given them, and to come here this morning before you and before the Lord and dedicate their baby to God is truly wise, and it's very mature. So I just want to say how proud I am of those parents that came forward. So praise God. Some of you are probably wondering, is David going to preach with everything that's going on? I'm preaching today. But in our culture of information, we got a lot of information floating around today. We got a lot of people listening to religious things. Sermons, self-helps, books, seminars, prophecy, that it's so accessible today. Not just religious things, but anything you really want to learn about or listen to is so accessible and so available at our fingertips. We can get to it. But I believe today more than any time in history, we have more people listening. But I wonder, when I think of how many people are listening, of those people that are listening, how many are also doing? Especially when it comes to religious things or godly things. James chapter 1 says, "Do not merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Further down in the same chapter, it says, "Those who consider themselves religious, yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." See, I believe we have a lot of people, or probably more people, listening to what God says than actually doing what God says. And God is really not impressed when we only listen to what He says. That's a first step, because we have to hear what it is that God wants us, that what He said, He wants us to listen to what He says. But that's only a first step. What grabs God's attention is when someone takes what God says and puts it into practice and honors God with what it says. So today I'm continuing a series I started 3 weeks ago entitled Counterfeit Religion. Counterfeit Religion. And James says that true religion are those who act on God's word, going to those in need and dying to themselves by keeping themselves clean from the world. So I can say, as I talk about this series of counterfeit religion, when I was saved at the age of 16, I was birthed in a denomination, in a Baptist denomination, and I don't in any way knock the Baptist faith at all. They're very strong, they're very godly, very principled, very doctrinal. They preach the cross, they preach Christ, all those things. I was birthed in that. But at the age of 16, God placed within my spirit a hunger and a desire to only want to know Him. In other words, I wasn't really impressed or what, you know, really all the stuff that surrounded religious things. All I really wanted to know was God. In other words, just give me God, give me Christ, and give me His Word, and I'll be satisfied with that. And the denomination that I was in, and this may still be the case today, and it's probably the case for some other denominations, and some of y'all may have heard me share this before, but most of y'all, I don't think, has heard this. But I served as a deacon at the time when I was at the church. It was First Baptist Church in Chalmette, and I had also gotten involved in this. They had a thing called committees, and what they would do is they'd have a committee for everything. In other words, anything that the church needed to have done, they formed a committee for that particular thing, and I guess in some ways it made sense, because it kind of had all the bases covered, right? Well, they even had a committee, and I'm not joking when I say this, called the Committee on Committees. Now, guess what that committee did? That committee selected the members for all the other committees. That's the committee that I was on. And I'm here to tell you, there was like a lot of politics going on with that. Like, people wanted to have, like, their certain person in that particular committee. So whatever it is, they felt like, you know, God was leading them to do or needed to get done with the church. The person that they had placed in that committee was going to make sure that that took place. I didn't want that. I was young and I was like, to myself, I'm just thinking, this is not God. And God just really opened my eyes up just to have a hunger for Him and for His Word. See, the Bible revealed to me that God had more, so much more for me. Jesus said, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. I was hungry for the real, not for the man-made imitation. I believe if you really have a hunger and a desire to really want to know God and who He really is, and to really know Christ and who He is, God will allow you to find Him and learn about Him. The Bible says if you seek Him, you will find Him. If you knock, the door will be open. If you ask, God will answer you. So I believe when we seek God with all our hearts for the truth of what the Word of God says, God will answer us. So in this series, I'm just asking this church and myself to allow God to challenge you to go after the real in every area of your life. Don't gravitate to the counterfeit. We got so many people that they gravitate to the counterfeit. They're just satisfied with the imitation. They're satisfied with the mix, with the mix of truth and the mix of man. I don't want a mixture. I don't want an imitation. Why would you want the counterfeit when God says you can have the real? See, I want the real. I want the genuine real of what God has for us. So when you choose to live this way, it will appear that you are the one that's a fanatic. When you really go after God and really follow the Word of God and obey the Word of God and live the way God is asking you to live, it will appear that you're a fanatic. But that's because you were comparing yourself to other religious people. When you align yourself with the Word of God, the pure truth, you will not appear abnormal. Rather, you will be living exactly the way God intended you to live. See, that's the problem. A lot of us, we get saved and we become Christians, and then we start looking around us and we start patterning our lives around the way other religious or other Christian people live their lives. And that's all right. Paul, the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. See, that person that you're looking at, they better be imitating Christ in their life. But if you're living your life compared to other people that really don't have a hunger for God, then you really, and we're going to look like fanatics anyway, because the world, they don't love God. The majority of the world has rejected God. But even to religious people, you might seem like you're a fanatic, but really all I'm doing is I'm living the way God, the way the Bible instructs me to live, not the way other religious people are living. You see what I'm saying? So I'll just challenge you in this series that we're doing, just ask God, say, God, I want you. I don't want the counterfeit. I don't want the fake. I just want to know the pure 100% truth of you, Lord, and who Christ is and the Holy Spirit and all the wonderful gifts and things that God has for us. So today I'm going to continue in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in a passage that Paul wrote in his second letter to Timothy. And it says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. See, that's the key to this series, that last verse there, having a form of godliness. See, just having a form of religion, having an imitation of what God says, but denying the power of God that can actually change a person's life. That's what Paul said to avoid. So previously in my other messages on this series, I mentioned the Lord had showed me this, the strong language that Paul uses here when he says there will be terrible times in the last days. And I shared this that, You know, you would think when the Bible writes terrible times that we would think that will be followed by diseases and by earthquakes and just unspeakable events on the earth. But notice Paul doesn't say anything like that. Paul says in the last days there will be terrible times, and then the first word that follows that is people. See, God's concerned about people. God's concerned about the way we treat other people and the way you and I live. And God considers these things that Paul mentioned in 2 Timothy terrible times. So I just point that out to just take note of that, of the strong language that Paul uses there in his description of terrible times. That the way we treat a brother or a sister, or the way that you and I conduct ourselves, matters a lot to God. God takes notice of that. So picking up where we left off in 2 Timothy, we're going to look at this one in verse 2. It says, people will be ungrateful. People will be ungrateful. See, this cuts right to the root of all the other sins of selfishness. People today, I think, live with the world owes me and serves me mentality. They live as if they were placed on the planet for everyone else to serve them. It blows me away that people really think that when they're living and conducting themselves and doing all the things that everybody else does, that they are the only ones that are doing it. That they're number one. And the thing that I noticed this most when I thought of ungratefulness, and this really, really makes me angry, is when people are rude at restaurants. That I'm telling you, that gets me. I'm probably the other end of the extreme, and I'm probably saying thank you too much. But I didn't know that America had kings and queens. Did you? You would think when we go to a restaurant that you consider yourself a king and a queen. Now, don't get me wrong. When we go to restaurants, that waiter or that waitress, yes, their job, they were hired to serve you. That's what one of the benefits of going out to eat is, that you sit down, you don't have to cook. Someone comes and they serve you. But you're not their boss. And they're not your slave. And it's amazing how people just, they just seem like, it's just like that this is going to be my moment for them to serve me and to do what I want them to do. And like I said, I'm not saying if there's bad service, you don't say something, but what I'm saying is the world is living in a mindset where they're ungrateful. They have absolutely no gratitude for the everyday things that people do for other people. And it's really, to me, it's very disheartening to see that. People are rude, they're selfish, they're ungrateful. See, this ungrateful attitude has always been around, but I believe it is increasing as the day of Christ approaches. All of these things that we're going to talk about in 2 Timothy in this series, the Bible says these things will be increasing as the day of Christ approaches, or as his return approaches. But ungratefulness goes deeper than not telling someone thank you. Ungratefulness is a lack of appreciation and understanding that God has given you everything. Let me say that again. It is a lack of appreciation and understanding that God has given you everything. I think most people just don't realize that. I just think they forget that who they are and who God is. So what are some things that the world is ungrateful for? And maybe some of these things we might even be able to identify with. One of the things I think is life. We take for granted the fact that God has given you a body, that God has given you a mind, that the life that you walk around in, this body that you walk around in every day, is where did your body come from? How did you get here? How did you get here to enjoy the things that you enjoy? What made that possible? It was God. But people walk around living as if they made themselves, or they created themselves, and everything that they have is from themselves. See, it's a disconnect from recognizing who God is and what God has done for them. The second thing that people are ungrateful for is the world that we live in. We take for granted that, and I say this a lot, that you realize you are living on a planet. Like we're in like there's other planets all around us, right? And so far, and I believe this is the only planet where there's life. That's just my personal belief, that this is it. But you're living on a planet that is suspended in midair. Like it's just floating. It's suspended. And it's got life. And God has given us oxygen and food and all the things that God has given you to sustain and to enjoy life. See, we think that we just take those things for granted, and we wake up every day and we say, oh, well, the world's here. The sun's going to come up and the moon's going to come up and I'm going to breathe and all these things. And we just take it for granted. I like to thank God for everything. I thank Him that I have another day. I thank Him that He gave me a body to live in. I thank Him that I live in a country that's free, that I can walk into a building on Sunday mornings and not be persecuted for worshiping Jesus Christ. I don't have to worry about being arrested for that. But the world just takes everything for granted. They're ungrateful. And then our possessions. Say, oh, well, those are my possessions. Yeah, they might be your possessions, but how did you get those possessions? Where did they come from? Well, you worked and you saved and you purchased and, okay, yeah, you did it, but how did you get a job? And how were you able to understand how to do the job? And where did the money come from? It's all from God. See, but people are ungrateful because they're disconnected from who God is. They don't understand that God has given them everything. See, ungrateful people concentrate on what they do not have or think they should have instead of being grateful for what they do have. See, I try to do this, and we all get in moments of life where there's struggles or things happen. We lose things, we want things, we don't have things and all of this, but I believe if you spend more time concentrating on the things you do have, you forget about the things you don't have. Because I promise you, you got a lot of things to be thankful for. You'll probably, if you begin the list of things you do have, I bet you'll forget the thing you were asking for that you don't have. Because the paper is going to get full and there won't be any room to put that down on there. If you read the Old Testament, the nation of Israel complained to God. They said, we want meat. Yet God delivered them from slavery in Egypt. Now get this, they were slaves in Egypt. Slavery. But they were complaining in their freedom. God had set them free. In their freedom, they were complaining to God, God, we want meat. Yet God had given them manna from heaven. Something that had never happened before. God made food rain from heaven and fall down among the Israelites. All they had to do was go and just gather up the manna. That's all they had to do. But they complained. See, they forgot the things that God had did for them. See, the Bible has a lot to say about gratefulness. And let me just say this in this series. In each one of these things or anything in your life that you are looking for direction or instruction in, the principle for that thing in your life is going to be found in the Word of God. God is going to be your source to go to for instruction for anything you have in life. It's the same thing for gratefulness. True Christians will be grateful for everything because they recognize that God is their source. In Psalms 100, it says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. See, thanksgiving should precede everything a Christian does. Do you realize that? The Bible says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. The first thing you need to do when you come into the presence of God is this. Thank Him. See, we start rattling off all the needs, right? God, I need this. God, I'm struggling with this. God, help me with this. God, but I think the first thing, and the Bible tells us, the first thing you should do when you enter God's presence is begin to thank Him. I just begin to worship Him. I begin to think of all the things, all the names that the Bible says, all the descriptions of God. God, you're great. God, you're holy. God, you're a creator. God, you're merciful. God, you're full of compassion. All the things of God. And just begin to enter the gates of God with thanksgiving on your lips. That should precede everything that a Christian does. Because everything that we have is from God. The second thing is thanksgiving should be an offering to the Lord. Leviticus chapter 7 in the Old Testament says, along with their fellowship offering of thanksgiving, they are to present an offering with thick loaves of bread made with yeast. One of the offerings that God instructed the nation of Israel to perform was an offering of thanksgiving. I believe we can offer God an offering of thanksgiving. That you can just take a moment in your day or in your prayer time and just say, God, I'm not even going to request anything right now. I'm just going to say, you know what? I'm going to offer up a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And just begin to thank God. Just thank Him for everything. Thank Him for your job. Thank Him for your home. Thank Him for your spouse. Thank Him for your children. Just begin to thank God for everything that you have. That should be on the lips of every Christian. See, when we fail to thank Him, that's when we become privileged, thinking that everything I have is what I deserve. We don't deserve anything. See, that's what a Christian needs to understand. That's why Christians need to be grateful, because we recognize that first, everything that we have is from God, and everything that God has given me, I don't deserve. Right? I'm not privileged. There's no privileged Christians. The cross, the blood was shed by Christ for us. God has done everything for us. And then the third thing is thanksgiving should precede our prayer request. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Do you do that? I try to remind myself of this. Every time I go to God with a petition or a request, that look what Paul says here. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known to God. Before you go to God in prayer, you should precede that prayer with thanksgiving. Jesus notices when we thank Him. You might think, well, does God notice? Does Jesus, is He really concerned? Yes, He is. In Luke chapter 17, you remember the story of the 10 lepers. They had leprosy. One of the worst diseases that you could have in Jesus' time was leprosy. After Jesus healed them, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then He said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Jesus asked him when he came, where are the other 9? Jesus notices when we thank Him. It gets God's attention when we thank Him. So Christians, I believe, we should be the most grateful people on the planet. We need to be. That's when you begin to take the form of religion or the form of godliness and deny the power. When you begin to just kind of slip into that pattern, well, you know, I deserve this. That's my job. That's my car. That's my house. That's my bank account. Yes, you might have ownership of that, but really, in all actuality, everything you have belongs to God. How did you get all those things? How did you get the body to be able to produce the things you own? It was from God. I'm just saying, thank God for everything. Be thankful. You'll stand out in that world. That world's not thankful. They're ungrateful, the Bible says. But Christians ought to be the godly example in an ungodly world, that we're going to represent Christ and I'm going to be thankful. That's how God asks us to live. The next thing that Paul says here in 2 Timothy is people will be unholy. Unholiness defined as profane, indecent, shameless, given over to the most base passions, being blind to modesty, decency, purity, and righteousness. See, unholiness, just like all the other things, has existed from the beginning of time. The Bible says that God created man in His own image. Do you realize that? We were created in the image of God. But sin severed the image of God in man. When sin came upon man, that severed God's image in our lives. Paul says that in these terrible times of these last days, this will be increasing. And I believe, and all of us in here would recognize, that unholiness and ungodliness is increasing at a rapid rate in our society. It is unbelievable how fast that is increasing. Just what that definition says, being blind to modesty, decency, and purity. We are living in an age where people have lost all respect for a holy God, His holy Bible, and holy living. They have a complete disregard and disrespect for God. It is as if God no longer exists. I really believe that. And I know some people probably don't believe in God, but those who do, I really believe, live their lives in such a way that God is no longer alive, that He doesn't matter, He's not around, and He no longer exists. The Bible says in Judges chapter 17, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. I believe that verse can be said to us about America. We are living without a king, King Jesus. We have basically said as a country and as a nation, we've rejected God. We don't want God. We don't want prayer. Don't put the Ten Commandments in the school. And whatever you do, don't let a teacher use the Bible to teach children. Please don't do that. We've rejected everything there is about God. And we've told the world that they don't need God. And then everybody's scratching their heads trying to figure out why the whole world is in an uproar and why there's so much ungodliness and so much chaos. It's because the only thing that people need, we have told them they can't have. But that's not so for the church. See, we know who God is and we recognize who Christ is. See, without God and His Word, what is your moral compass? I've always wondered this, especially when I had children. When I became a father and I had children, I began to ask myself, because I was a believer, I was a Christian then, but I used to ask myself, how does someone as a parent that has children, where do they go to for their source to train and teach their children? In other words, what is your moral compass to raise your children? Where do you get guidance and understanding to train them and teach them? Where would you go? Government? You're going to go to a religious institution? You're going to go to a college? Go to a seminar, read a book? Where would you go? I often wonder that. We have to go to God. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. See, everyone is living the way that they think seems right to them. See, forget God, forget the Bible, forget all the things that God has to say. I'm just going to conduct my life the way I think this seems right. That's what everybody's doing. They're basically making it up as they go. We are living in a society, basically, if it feels right, if it sounds right, if it looks right, it must be right. It's whatever I think is right. And it's just what the Bible says, in the last days they will call right wrong and wrong right. And that is exactly what is happening in our society today. But see, everyone is living according to what seems right, but Christians, however, are not given the same luxury the world has. We do not live according to what seems right. We live according to what is right. See, I don't wake up every day saying, this is what David thinks is right. No, I have to live the way God says is right. And we know that God is holy, His word is true, and we are filled with His Holy Spirit. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, that's the instruction given for God's holy people. The Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Unholiness is one sign that the church has settled for the form and denied the power. See, this is the danger. This is the danger of religion or of gravitating toward a religious spirit. But we know what the truth and what the Word of God says. My wife and I, we just recently started going to the Covington jail. Sister Gina Kane's been coming with us. My wife has actually been doing this for several years, and the Lord had finally impressed upon me that I need to go minister to the men out of there. And it's just been an amazing time. We go on Thursday nights. And I don't know what's come upon me, but God has given me a spirit of boldness in that prison. I told my wife, I said, I'm not there to sit there and give them some kind of fancy, mansy-pamsy, sound-good message. I'm coming there to give them what the Word of God says. And I told those guys, every time I speak to them, I said, look, I'm trying to break the cycle of you not being in this place again. Like, if you ever get out of here, I'm trying to make sure that whatever I'm telling you is going to prevent you from coming back. I said, don't you want the cycle broken? Wouldn't you want that? Oh, yeah, we want that. Okay, well, you got to do what God says. So you got to be what God says. So Thursday night, we were there, and I had about, I guess, 6 or 8 guys were there. And sometimes you'll have a few guys on the perimeter that'll kind of gather a little further away, and you can kind of tell they're listening a little bit. And one of these guys was kind of one of the ones that was sitting there. And we were finished, and I was finished the message that I had given, and we were just kind of talking. And all of a sudden, this guy just came up, and he sat at the table, and he sat right across from me. And almost like it was one of those things like when the Pharisees went to Jesus, and they said, we're going to go to Jesus, we're going to give him like a trick question. That's how I felt, like he was coming to trip me up. He goes, I got a question for you. I said, okay, well, what's your question? He goes, how do I know, like, all these religions and different Bibles, and he was talking about some religions have their own Bible and all that kind of stuff, but he was saying, how do I really know which one is right? And I know what he was trying to say. He was trying to make an excuse, because I've heard people say this before. They think that because there's so many different things that people believe, that gives them excuse not to believe any of it, because they basically have come to the conclusion none of it's right. But that's wrong. So he told me, he said, how do I know? And I didn't even have to think. The Holy Spirit just nailed me with this. My Bible was on the table. I took the Bible. I turned it around like this. I slid it right there in front of him. And I said, that's how you know this, the Word of God. He looked at me. He was stunned. He was just like, I guess he was expecting some kind of big, gigantic, like, explanation, some kind of debate, want to argue with him, all that kind of stuff. I said, this is how you determine what's right and wrong, what this says. I said, whatever it is that somebody's telling you, whatever you're hearing, whatever you're listening to, you better make sure that it lines up with what God says. I told all those guys that. I said, if y'all live in this parish and you get out, I said, I'd love to have y'all come join up with us in this church. I said, we'd love to minister you, mentor you, and do all the things that God would allow us to do in your life. But I said, whatever church or wherever it is God leads you to go, you better make sure one thing, that pastor in that church preaches what God says. That's all you want to know, is what the Word of God says. So he was stunned. He got up. He didn't say anything. He got up and he walked out, and I kind of smiled. And then the other guys, like all the guys, they know each other in there. They know everybody. They know each other's personalities and all that kind of stuff. So they weren't surprised by that. And I wasn't like, I wasn't laughing because of that. It was just like what happened. And the guy goes, oh, the other one said, he's just like that. I'm like, I know, it's all right. It was just funny the way he walked away like that. But that's all we have to do and have to say is, this is what God says. See, that's what I'm saying in this counterfeit religion series. You want to find out what the Word of God says. I'm not interested in what a man says. I'm not impressed by men. I'm impressed by God and what Christ did and what Christ says. So holiness, I could have went a lot of different directions with this. And you go to the Bible, and the Bible will give you the blueprint. The Bible will give you the instructions of how to live a holy life. But I'm just going to say these three things real quick regarding holiness and how to live holy. The first thing you need to know is this: God has not changed. See, that Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, the world is living, even religious people, they're living their lives in such a way where they think that God is evolving, right? Like we're evolving as a society. Don't you know now that things that weren't acceptable, you know, back when your parents were young and your grandparents were young, all those things, don't you know that we've evolved as a society? And don't you understand those things are now acceptable now? So they think because society is evolving, they think alongside society, so is God. God doesn't evolve. God's not evolving. The Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has not changed. God is not in heaven looking down on earth taking polls to try to figure out what like the majority thinks and what the minority thinks. And all of a sudden he says, well, you know what? I better revise this thing and what my Bible says. I better revise the Word of God, because all of a sudden there ain't too many people who really want to live by what that says. So I'm going to do a revision. God doesn't do revisions. It doesn't work that way. So when it comes to your concept and understanding of holiness, you have to understand, that's the first thing you have to understand is this. God has not changed. I don't care what the media says, what the world says, maybe some of even your own family members say. I don't care. I'm telling you this, God has not changed. He's the same. In 2018, God is the same. And He'll always be the same. The second thing you need to know is this. God's Word has not changed. See, you and I, and this is what the world does, and I think a lot of times this even happens in Christians' lives, you and I do not get to set the standard for holiness. See, this is something that God showed me as a young Christian, that if I'm in a church and I'm surrounded by all these, especially as a younger Christian is going to look up to an older Christian, right? It's just the way it is. They're going to model an older Christian. They're going to watch the way that Christian talks, the way he or she behaves with their spouse, the way they treat their children. A younger Christian is watching this, watching their lifestyle. So as a younger Christian, I'm watching the lifestyles of other older Christians. But I'm reading the Bible, and what the Bible says is not necessarily lining up with the way they're living. So God said, you know, I can make a choice. I can say, well, you know what? I can just compromise and just say, well, you know what? This is just the way everybody else is living. This is the way, quote, the church people are living. What are you? But God says, no, I've called you to a higher standard. See, you and I, we don't get to set the standard. It doesn't work that way. That's not how it works. His standard for holy living is clearly and specifically spelled out for us in His Word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. He says, but among you there must not, now listen to this, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Now, a lot of people say when they read the Bible, they can't understand the Bible. They don't understand it. Well, I want to ask you, does that scripture verse need interpretation? Does anybody need no, that is very clear. And that's just one example of what the Bible says. If you really approach the Bible with a hunger and a desire to really know what the Bible says, you will comprehend and understand everything the Bible is speaking to you. It's not difficult to understand. So that's important for us. And God's Word has not changed. We don't set the standard for holiness. And then the third thing is that God's people will be holy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look how Paul addresses the church in Corinth in his first letter to the church in Corinth. It says, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be His holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Now look what Paul says here. He's addressing a church, just as if he was addressing World Prayer Tabernacle in Covington, it would be the same letter he would write. To those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be His holy people. Now listen to what he says. Together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord. That's you and I. As Paul was saying to the church in Corinth and to anyone else that calls on the name of Jesus, you will be God's holy people. That's what the Bible says. So, do you profess Jesus Christ as Lord? Is that a profession, or is that something that you've confessed in your heart? Have you confessed Christ as Lord in your life? If you answer yes to that question, then this is what God says. You will be holy. That's what God says. That's not what I say. The Bible says, be holy, for I am holy. In other words, that's who we will be. That's how we will conduct ourselves. That's God's people. You see, that's what I'm saying. If you're not holy, or you're settling for something else, then Paul says you're settling for the form. You're settling for the counterfeit. You're going after the cheap imitation. Don't go after the imitation. Get the real. Go after what God says you can have. That's what the Bible says. See, the greatest obstacle to living a life of holiness is compromise. That's what's happened. The world, well, they don't see it as compromise because that's how they live. But the church is compromising what the Word of God says. I'm here to tell you as the pastor of this church will not compromise God's Word. We're not going to do it. You say, well, that might, you know, you might offend people. That might make people uneasy or maybe upset them or whatever. It doesn't matter. That's what God says. I'm just a voice. I'm a messenger of what the Word of God says. I'm a vehicle. I'm just an instrument for God to speak the truth of what the Word of God says. So I know that might seem a little abnormal in 2018, but that's what God says. And I believe there's still people on the planet that are hungry for what God says. I'm one of them. So we are His church called by His name. I may ask Ray and them if y'all want to come up and begin to play. The Bible says terrible times will come in the last days. But it also says that His church, God's church, will endure. So why settle for the counterfeit when God says you can have the power? That's really what I'm trying to drive home in this series. Is why would you settle for the cheap imitation that man is offering of religion when God says you can have the power of God that changes your life? Why would you do that? That's how I was. See, I was young. I didn't know anything. But all I knew was this. I wanted God. I was reading the New Testament. I read the letters of Paul. I'm reading all these things. And God's got all these things. God says, I can live free. All these different things. And I'm looking at people, all these other religious people around me. They were just like, they were settling. They were just settling for it. Like, God, I don't want to just settle. Don't settle. Tell God, I want everything. I want everything you got for me, God. Hallelujah. You can stand to your feet.